WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Suzanne, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. President Trump's most sweeping tariffs to date are now in effect. On what he called Liberation Day, the president slapped a 10% tariff on all imports and added more severe tariffs on dozens of countries, including the UK, India, and China.
Foreign nations will finally be asked to pay for the privilege of access to our market, the biggest market in the world. We're right now the biggest market in the world. We had a great country 4 years ago in terms of the economics. We were doubling up on China. We were doing so well. Nobody was going to catch us, but so much of it slipped away over the last 4 years under Biden.
Meanwhile, Governor J.B. Pritzker is back from a trade mission to Mexico, where he hoped to strengthen the trade relationship between Mexico and Illinois. For more, we turn to Cecile Shea. She's a non-resident senior fellow on security and diplomacy at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. I started by asking her reaction to the news of Trump going full speed ahead on tariffs.
Like most observers, I first of all was shocked at some of the countries that he included. Everybody knew that he was going to increase tariffs on China. People assumed he was going to increase tariffs on Canada and Mexico, and he ended up not doing that, interestingly. What he did do is place enormous tariffs on a lot of our historic trading partners, the EU, which people kind of knew, that's the European Union, but also Asia. Those are the ones that shocked me, and that's where I spent a lot of my career in the Foreign Service. So I was really surprised, you know, big tariffs on Japan, which really doesn't have big tariffs, despite what he said, huge tariffs on Vietnam, a country that we increasingly rely on for in the security realm, for instance. So that was what really shocked me. And there's going to be huge impacts on Americans and particularly people in Chicagoland, kind of in every way. And the other thing that surprised me, frankly, is he also doubled down on the de minimis tariffs, the kind of things that people have to pay when they order a little tchotchke from Etsy or eBay or something. And, you know, that's going to affect a lot of people with home businesses. So, yeah, I was surprised by a lot of the things that he said yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. Well, tariffs historically have been designed to raise the cost of imported goods so consumers will prefer the American goods. But is that what these tariffs are doing? I mean, last time you were here on the show, you mentioned some products that we heavily rely on other countries for, you know, things that we don't mass produce here, might also get hit with these tariffs.
Yeah, most of the things on this list are things that we do not mass produce here. And so, you know, he hopes that perhaps, I think the president is thinking we'll build factories. So for instance, there's going to be huge tariffs on, let's say, fabric. So maybe he thinks we're going to reopen fabric mills. I don't think that's going to happen. It's very expensive to build a fabric mill. And B, most factories these days are roboticized. And where do most of the robots come from? They come from China and Japan. So we've just put tariffs on things that are going to make it more expensive to build a factory. Also, steel and aluminum are going up in price because he's put universal 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum. You use a lot of steel and aluminum when you build a factory. So whether or not this production is going to return to the U.S., maybe in little drips and dabs. The other thing is that he thinks it's going to make American-made products more competitive. So I've been shopping for window blinds lately, and they're very expensive, as anybody who's ever moved into a new house knows. And there are American-made blinds, and they're a lot more than the ones you buy at IKEA, but they're very, very nice. They're very well-made. But the parts within those blinds are not all made in America. Right. Some of the fabric is made in America. A lot of it is imported. A lot of the motors come from France, where there's now going to be a 20% tariff. You know, a lot of the little bits and pieces come from China or also come from the EU. Even if they're made in America, they're made out of steel or aluminum. So the price of that is going up. So yes, the blinds that are imported from China that you buy in some big box stores, those are going to go up in price by quite a bit. But even the American-made ones are probably going to go up in price because the components inside of them are going to go up in price. So will it push people to buying American? I'm not sure that it will, the way that the president seems to claim that it will.
I mean, it's such an interesting thing to think about how, you know, maybe one product has several different components that will be a factor in the price.
Exactly. And that's why you keep reading on a lot of websites and a lot of companies are saying, we still don't quite understand what this is going to cost us because the rules haven't been written yet. And that was the other odd thing about yesterday and really about all the president's announcements on tariffs. Usually before tariffs are announced, there's teams of hundreds of people, of experts who spend months coming up with the lists and the definitions. So for instance, if you're in France and you make a product, but 60% of the content is from China, is the U.S. going to tariff that at the French level of 20% or at the China level, which looks like it's going to be between 54 and 65%? Those rules aren't written. People don't know. And so what you're seeing in the stock market today, I fear, is just a preamble as experts try to sort out exactly who's going to be the most harmed by some of these tariffs and who might win. I mean, there probably will be some winners in all of this also.
Right. Well, you mentioned steel and aluminum. Remind us what other industries will get hit the hardest, particularly for us in Illinois.
Well, already today, cars, right? So there's a new 25% tariffs on imported cars. We're also tariffing parts. So there are car factories in Chicagoland. Some of the parts are made in Japan. Some of the parts are made in Canada. A lot of the parts are made in Canada. And we're going to have 25% tariffs on the car parts from Canada in particular. So that's going to impact them. Steel, I mentioned aluminum. There's one more and it just slipped my mind. But yes, we have already had some tariffs that have started already and you're starting to see those creep into pricing. You see today that Ford has said that it's going to find ways to lower the price on its cars, which are American but include some foreign components. And yeah. So they're having to find other ways to entice buyers to come and buy the cars. I think the other thing that Ford is thinking right now is buyers are thinking, well, I don't know what's going to happen next, so I'll buy right now. So we'll probably see a small jump in certain purchases that you saw that in March already. People were going out and buying, for instance, cars and some other things because they didn't know what was going to happen in tariffs. Right. So we may see a short-term consumer bounce, actually. I'm actually thinking of going and buying more blinds before the price goes up. But in the long term, you're going to see consumers have to pull back because things are going to cost more.
I was actually going to ask, I mean, if someone were to go out shopping today, we wouldn't necessarily see that price hike just yet.
If you do, it's gouging. Oof. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, which has happened before, right? Which has happened before. People use it as an excuse to raise the price or raise the price more than the tariffs actually cost them. Who this is initially going to hurt are the smaller merchants who can't afford big warehouses. So the big buyers have for the last couple months been importing as much as they could before tariffs hit because they kind of suspected something was going to happen. But if you own a mom and pop store, this is just one more way that you're going to be hit and have trouble moving forward because you couldn't pre-buy. You either didn't have the funds or you didn't have the place to put it. On top of that, you don't have the lawyers and the experts and the people who've been able to lobby in Washington to get certain things exempted. So, you know, there are some minerals, for instance, that have been exempted from some of these tariffs, some energy products. And if you are someone with a specialty energy product, I have a friend who works in a lumber area and his factory burns the little bits and pieces that are left from lumber milling and makes electricity and sells it. Is that equipment going to be exempted? We don't know really yet. So there's still a lot to know. But yeah, it's going to be particularly hard on the smaller merchants, I think.
Yeah. Well, Trump says this will, quote, reset the U.S. economy. What does he mean by that? And is there any merit to that plan?
It won't reset the economy. And indeed, you know, in his last quote where he said he had tariffs and then Biden dropped them, that's just not true. President Biden kept almost all the tariffs on China in particular. He didn't want to send China the wrong message. And by the way, that's one reason that you're seeing so much confusion into how much the new China tariffs are. He keeps saying that he's doing this on top of his 20%, but did he put another 20%, or is he talking about the 20% from 2018 that Biden kept? It's really not clear. So Bloomberg is saying the tariffs could rise to 65% on Chinese goods. We just don't know yet. It's not going to reset the economy, and it's going to cause pain, not just at the consumer level and the small business level. I think even a lot of companies are going to find that it's just really costing them more money than it might make. I should say one more thing, which is the dollar is falling. So that's going to make exports perhaps a little cheaper, which is good because there's counter tariffs coming from other countries. Right. But it also makes importing a lot more expensive. So on top of tariffs that are going to be applied to a lot of products, they just are going to be more expensive because the dollar is weaker. The reason the dollar has dropped so much in the last 36 hours is because of these tariffs.
You know, there's a lot of concern from economists who say not only will this not work, it'll overburden Americans because ultimately governments and companies don't pay tariffs. Consumers do. These tariffs are in effect. If consumers go out to the store, you know, other than, you know, maybe like your blinds and things like that, what else are we looking at? Are we talking about coffee? Are we talking about our clothes that we buy?
Yeah, so clothes are going to be huge, and shoes. And I didn't realize that a lot of sneakers are made in Vietnam. And Vietnam has been hit with astoundingly high tariffs on this list here, 46%.
Wow.
So if you're Nike or Adidas right now and you make a lot of shoes in Vietnam, you're worried. Cambodia, a very, very poor country, has been hit with 49% tariffs. And they do... make clothing as well as some shoes. Certainly a lot of our clothes these days come from China. I wish more of it was made in the U.S. I do. But I wish people bought fewer clothes. You know, when I was younger and clothes were a lot more expensive, you didn't have three closets worth of clothes and 70 pairs of shoes like a lot of people do now. You just didn't. But to buy fewer things that are more expensive, that's going to be a big change for Americans. And then you ask, well, what happens to Target? What happens to all the people who work at Target? What happens to all the people who work at Walmart? There's a lot of downstream impacts. We were talking about blinds. What happens to the people who install blinds?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of downstream effects as people start to pull back. The other thing we should say, because we are a manufacturing and an agricultural powerhouse here in Illinois, is there are going to be retaliatory tariffs from many countries. Some countries are saying they're going to wait, but a lot of countries are already saying, we're ready, we're locked and loaded, here we come. The EU is one of them. That's going to impact people's jobs. It's going to impact our farmers. Historically, the first thing countries put tariffs on are American food products. So that's going to hit the farmers first, but also manufactured goods. Now, one last thing that I mentioned last time I was on the show, and I think is probably even a little more likely this time, is this issue of putting tariffs on goods and services, which will impact a lot of really high-paying jobs in America, but also kind of get back at some of the companies that some foreign officials think perhaps maybe backed Trump a little too closely. So, for instance, if you develop apps and you want to sell your app in one of these countries, they may put a tariff on your app. If you sell insurance products in countries, Japan is one of the biggest purchaser of U.S. insurance products, things like annuities in the world. If you sell your products there, you may suddenly find more tariffs on your products.
Wow.
You may find tariffs on certain banking services. So it could, if companies choose to start putting tariffs on apps, on social media, on other software, on banking services, that will have a huge impact on higher wage jobs in the U.S.
I mean, a real chain reaction. Well, I want to turn now specifically more to Illinois. Just as the president was announcing these tariffs yesterday, Governor J.B. Pritzker and a 70-person delegation from Illinois wrapped a trade mission trip to Mexico. Why do some states build their own trade relationships with foreign countries?
Yeah, so I spent 26 years in the Foreign Service, and a lot of states actually have offices in a number of important foreign countries. In addition to having these trade junkets, which is where the governor or some senior official will come with business leaders. And the reason that they have these junkets is they try to, you know, embassies, which are very short-staffed right now, so I don't know who does it anymore, but embassies and consulates put together meetings so that these people can find new markets for their products, in some cases find new sources for some of the content in their products, build the kind of relationships that lead to more exports from the state and better relations between industries, between a state and countries. So these trade missions are actually really, really powerful. And when you're talking about a country like Mexico, which imports grain, so that's big for the U.S., may import soy products and may import meat from Illinois, but also exports a lot of important products to Illinois, particularly food, but also components for different items, then that's important. Also, some Illinois-based companies have factories that are called maquiladoras on the border with Mexico. Right. And so kind of making sure that Mexico is looking out for the American citizens who work in those factories is important to the governor and part of his job.
Yeah. Well, here's Governor Pritzker reacting to the president's tariff plan.
The tariffs seem so broad-based and not well negotiated or thought out that they will potentially destroy some businesses in Mexico that U.S. companies rely upon.
I mean, to what extent can tariffs made on the federal level be mitigated at the state level?
So it's really hard. I mean, the state is strapped for cash right now. So this first thing is difficult, but the state can, for instance, try to provide funds to some companies to find alternate sources. During the last round of Trump tariffs between 2016 and 2020, some companies based in Illinois moved some of their production from China to Vietnam so that they could stay in business. Otherwise, they weren't going to be able to have products to sell here in the U.S., and it was going to cost a lot of jobs. So there are little things that can be done around the margins. There can also be pressure, particularly in this case, from Republican senators and Republican members of Congress on the White House not to damage the Illinois economy. Mm-hmm. The other thing that Pritzker, who is very well liked overseas, can do is encourage countries not to put countervailing tariffs on Illinois goods, which is hard because some countries want to put countervailing tariffs on, say, Iowa goods or Nebraska goods, and that pretty much is going to hurt Illinois farmers. So I'm guessing he's making phone calls along those lines also.
Yeah. Well, really quickly in the last few seconds we have left, could this help keep costs locally from rising too far, Governor Pritzker's efforts here?
I mean, it won't hurt. I mean, every little bit helps, but, you know, is he going to be able to stem the price increases in children's clothing or in toys, in steel or in cars? Not too much. I mean, he's doing his best, and he's also hopefully trying to keep some countries from putting too many countermeasures that will hurt Illinois. That will certainly help the employment picture.
Yeah.
But will it help prices? You know, he's doing what he can, but really it has to come from Washington at this point.
Well, we'll have to see how it all plays out. That's Cecile Shea, a non-resident senior fellow on security and diplomacy at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. Cecile, thanks so much for breaking that down for us.
Thanks, Susie.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Micah Yason. For deeper dives into how developing national stories affect us here in Illinois, consider subscribing to our podcast so you never miss a conversation. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.